www.thebridgeofchrist.com.
Good morning, everyone. Wow. Good morning, everyone. Both those who are here in person and those who are listening online. The song that I just played has kind of been like killing me over the last couple of weeks. And the group is Apollo LTD. They're not specifically a Christian group, but went to Belmont University, which is a Christian college, and their faith, like you listen to their music, and it's like if they just said Jesus instead of he, everything is there, right? And it's pretty unmistakable, I think, when you listen to their music. But why did I play it? Well, I think it touches on something that is pretty important when it comes to the state of our heart. Like how often we wrestle with our value and our worth when we are constantly coming up short of what God longs for us to be. Right? Did you ever find yourself thinking about your life as a follower of Jesus, thinking how you really should be in a better place spiritually by now? Right? How oftentimes you might ponder like your shortcomings, and it can get you pretty depressed. We know God is wanting to transform us. He's wanting to change us and make us more like Jesus. He's in the process of doing that. But when we aren't seeing that, when we aren't seeing that happen quickly, or if we aren't seeing it happen in our lives, it can make us want to quit trying or give up. If you've ever wrestled with those thoughts, you're not alone. We all have. I have. Still do at times. Maybe some of us have at least a lot of that going on this morning even, as we're listening right now. Well, despite the feelings and the struggles that we all have from time to time, God knows we're a work in progress, right? We're a work in progress, and we're his work in progress. He's not going to give up on us. He never, ever will. Over the past couple of weeks, this stage has been a work in progress. That's kind of actually what prompted me to talk about this a little bit, just seeing some of the things that have been going on. There are still some things to finish up around the walls and some decor eventually, and that's going to take a little time. Thinking about this whole process kind of prompted me to talk about the idea of transformation just for a couple of weeks. And, you know, being changed by God into the image and likeness of Jesus. Because it would be great if God just snapped his fingers and we were all a finished product, right? How great would it be if, as followers of Jesus, our transformation was instant and immediate, but it's really not the way that he tends to work in our lives. Sure, sometimes some things happen quickly, but generally it takes some time. Once we come to faith in Jesus, God will be working on us the rest of our life to make us more like Jesus. And the good thing is that God's word tells us, promises us, we can be certain that he will get us there. He will get us there, provided we're like we're cooperating with him and spending time with him, listening to, obeying the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." I'm sure of this. He's going to get the work done. You can be certain that God is working on you, and he'll get you there in time. Along the way, you should start to see some visible changes, and hopefully other people are noticing them too. But as long as he's still working on you, it's likely to be a bit messy. Right? With this stage project, we had a couple of people do a great cleaning job on this place like last week, and then we made more mess this week, and there were people in Friday, Saturday, hours going on just trying to get the dust and dirt out of the place. And we did okay, but like there's still dust settling from the mess that's been going on. It's not all totally clean yet. It's going to take a while for things to kind of settle and get back to normal. In the meantime, we have to just simply ask everyone, hey, would you just pardon our dust? Pardon our dust. It's a natural byproduct of being a work in progress. And that's today's idea. Today's title is simply pardon our dust. Interesting story as we kind of kick things off this morning. I don't know if you saw it, but in the... Oshkosh Herald this week, there is an article on one of our very own people here at Portico, Haley Brunk, who plays keyboards for us. That was pretty cool. You can clap if you want. It was pretty cool. I don't know if you saw it. I did ask Haley permission to talk about this, so I'm not putting her on the spot. I didn't tell her what I was going to say, though, so. No, but, you know, it was an article that was really focused around, you know, playing golf and the season being canceled or postponed and if that'll happen and the disappointment of that. And she had some really cool things to say. But at the end of it, it was interesting about finding out about the announcement is going to be postponed or put off and due to COVID and all the things like that. And here's what it says. I just want to read you the end. It was a bit of a bummer, but I also know that my friend, who is number one golfer on our team, missed out too. Sure, it's disappointing, but I wasn't the only one going through it. Here's what it says then. Brunk, I love it when they like call one of our kids Brunk, you know, last name, right? Isn't sure if she'll play golf at the next level. She plans to attend Nicolet Bible Institute in Antigo next year for a one-year program involving Christian studies before moving on to college. It's a chance to learn more about the Bible and God, she said. My faith is important to me. I think it has helped me get through this pandemic. This is an article about golf. And Haley had this cool opportunity to make a huge statement about her faith in Jesus. Looking to spend time in Bible school, she even gave me a hard time this morning because as a pastor, I was supposed to give her a reference. And I was a little slack on that, but I assured her it is already in, so it's done. But here's the thing. It's really awesome that she's looking to do that. God has been working in her life to bring her to this place. But again, unfortunately, sometimes the process isn't always pretty, is it? Like for any of us. And Haley would be the first to admit she's, first of all, gone through a lot in her life. This interview 2 or 3 years ago might not have gone quite so nicely, right? Right, Haley? She's like, I know. Back then, it might have been hard for her to even imagine being in a place where she would share something like that. And I'm not saying that to pick on Haley. She's awesome, right? But the journey is hard sometimes, and it is for all of us. Sometimes we have a hard time imagining where we're going to be down the road. But God is at work. He is working on us, and it was just really cool to see this. One day we're going to be this finished masterpiece, but while the work is in progress, it can be tough. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, what we see looks more like raw material than the finished product that God's trying to produce in us. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, wrote about this. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 21. He says this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." Now we're not going to break that all apart, but doesn't that describe the wrestling match that we often feel in our own lives? Trying to do what God wants, struggling to do what he wants, right? We want to follow Jesus, but we're always messing up and making mistakes. We're always falling short and not measuring up. We want to be better, but the struggle to do what we should is tough, and because of that, we feel oftentimes like a failure. I don't know about you, but I tend to think of Paul as kind of a spiritual giant, which he was. I mean, God used him to write the majority of the New Testament, reach multitudes of people with the hope of the gospel, and yet here's what he said about himself when he wrote to his friend Timothy, his young friend Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1:15, The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. One translation says, like, I am the chief sinner. Another one says, of all the sinners, I'm the worst. Right? That's how Paul saw himself. And he wrote this like a decade or more after his actual encounter with Jesus for the first time. So God had been working on him for a long time, and yet he felt this struggle. And that's how he saw himself. If that's what it was like for Paul, you know, the spiritual giant, it's going to be like that for us at times. So I want to spend a couple of minutes this morning just talking about how we deal with things when we let God down. Right? How do we deal with it when we let God down? What should we do that can help us get back on track? And there's five things that I really quickly want to consider. Each one is pretty short, but five things. And here we go. The first thing we need to do is really be honest. You're going to find these all start with R's because, you know, that's how you want it to roll. Really be honest. 1 John 1:6-8 says this, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Right? Don't kid yourself. Don't justify sinful actions. Own up to them before God and before others. Really be honest about where things are at. You can't move forward if you aren't genuine about where you're at in the moment. You can't live in denial and still expect to grow spiritually. Right? So it starts with really be honest. The second thing is this. Remember God's mercy. Right? Remember God's mercy. Like, David was a man after God's own heart, but he messed up big time. Yet listen to the words he wrote in Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. By the way, he's quoting God's own words there. That's what God says about himself. And David affirms that, right? He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Right? You may look at your life and see these moments where you failed or let God down. You may be focused on times where you're off course and far away from him. Maybe you're even in that place right now. Our enemy wants us to be stuck there. But we need to remember God's mercy. He always welcomes you back. He longs for you to return to him. God knows our weakness. God knows our frailty. Right? He knows we are dust. And he will pardon our dust when we ask him to. Right? Which leads us to the third thing. Respond with repentance. Okay? Respond with repentance. And repentance is simply just turning back to the Lord. Peter betrayed Jesus by denying him once he was arrested, but he responded with repentance. It talks about how he went out and wept bitterly at what he had done. 1 John 1:9, it assures us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? So whether you've messed up once or are stuck in a pattern of ungodly behavior, forgiveness is available if you ask him. Right? Whatever you're struggling with, he can and will forgive you when you cry out to him. So do it. Right? Respond with repentance. The fourth thing, run from further unrighteousness. Run from further unrighteousness. I think this is really important because we need to run away from things that are going to pull us further away from God. Right? Don't compound our sinful choices by adding more sin to them. In contrast to Peter, who, you know, who returned to God and repented, Judas, he also betrayed Jesus. Right? Now, it started small. Judas was known to have stolen money from the funds of Jesus and his disciples. He pilfered some out as he was in charge. Then his greed took him a step further, and he betrayed Jesus for a larger sum of money, 30 pieces of silver. He delivered Jesus over to the authorities. Now, when he realized how badly he messed up, he tried to undo it, right? Take the money back. Tell, you know, wanted them to let Jesus go. They didn't care. They got what they wanted. And when he couldn't fix that, instead of repenting, he took his own life. And in doing so, he ended any possibility of seeing that relationship restored. So often, when we mess up in one thing, it leads to another thing, and another thing, and another thing. Like, oh, I messed up in this. I'm not even going to care anymore. I'm not even going to pay attention to that anymore. And we get numb, and we get complacent. Pretty soon, we're flying downhill spiritually, and we're sliding further and further away from God. Your actions start to spiral out of control. It's kind of like a spiritual tailspin you can't pull out of. And you're like hurling toward disaster. Colossians 3:5 tells us that we should put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you. Right? Whatever's in us that is pulling us away from God, that is sinful, we need to kill it. That's what Scripture says. Kill what is earthly in you. Don't compound bad mistakes and sin with more bad mistakes and sin. You'll end up in a really bad place. Okay, so that's the fourth thing, and here's the fifth thing. While we need to run from sin, we also need to refuse to run from God. We've got to refuse to run from God. Remember Jonah? Right? He tried to run from God and not do what God told him to. God told him to go to Nineveh, which was to the east, across the land, and instead he jumped on a boat and went west, as far away as he could get from what God was telling him to do. But he found out what we need to remember: you can't actually outrun God, right? You can't really run from him. You can try. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Now again, our enemy wants nothing more than to pull us away from Jesus. That's how he wins. We need to refuse to run away from God, no matter what. So these are some steps that we can take to kind of keep us on track and prevent a spiritual spiral in our lives. So really be honest, remember God's mercy, respond with repentance, run from further unrighteousness, and refuse to run from God. And the reality is that no matter where we're at, we can turn to him for forgiveness and know he is there for us. He wants us to see how precious we are to him. But again, for so many reasons, I know it can be a struggle to see how much he truly loves us and values us. It can be hard to see just how much we're worth to him when we look at our life and see a string of mistakes and failures. I can tell you, just a week or so ago, I had a conversation with somebody that I've known for quite some time. And I'm not going to get into all the details. He's not a follower of Christ, but mentioned something to me that I did like 10 years ago. And it wasn't some big obvious thing, but it was just like, oh, really? I kind of messed up back then when I was interacting with him and some other people. And even that, even though it was like 10 years earlier, and I know I've grown, it still was disappointing. And it's real easy to get into that, man, we're failures. We're messing up all the time. if you can relate to that, I want you to pay some attention to this second version of the video. It's the same song that we just heard, but there's some interviews and things like that. And maybe you can relate to some of what's going on. And so I want to encourage you just to kind of tune in for a few minutes, hear and see this video and these interviews from Apollo LTD. Well, that is disappointing. So I guess we're just going to move on from that. It was really great. When you get home this afternoon or after church today, go back and take a look at the video and watch it for yourself and that sort of thing. Nothing much we can do about it, I don't think. If it works, we'll play it at the end of our worship gathering. Okay, so let me wrap up with this. As a work in progress, you may see yourself as a mess. Right? You may see yourself with all kinds of dust and debris that's covering you, but that's not what God sees. That is not what God sees. He's the one who made you. Right? He made you from the dust, and he pardons the dust in our life. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The song that we heard talks about being fearfully and wonderfully you. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18, one you're probably familiar with, says this: "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. For your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me," and some translations clarify that, "how precious toward me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand." Despite our inadequacies, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, we're an unfinished product, one that's still a work in progress. And transformation, it takes time. It takes time, but hang in there. Right? Cooperate with God as he transforms you from what you once were into who he longs for you to be. Because it's something greater and more beautiful than you can even imagine. We're going to close in prayer and a song of worship. So would you join me? Heavenly Father, sometimes it is incredibly hard for us to see ourselves as being valuable, as being loved, as being even worthy of love, as being someone that you care deeply about. Because what is right in front of us is all the ways that we mess up. What's right in front of us is this path that we're supposed to be journeying down that we can't seem to stay on sometimes. What's right in front of us is just a mess. There's dust and debris everywhere. We know we're a work in progress, but it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere fast. And yet you have promised that you will be faithful to bring us to the place of completion. That's what you're doing. That's what you're working on. Father God, help us to be patient with that and help us not to lose sight of what it is you want to accomplish to make us more like Jesus. Help us to keep ourselves focused on you, to be mindful of you, to be cooperating with you, to allow your Holy Spirit to work on us and in us. And as you do that, God, that there is something greater that's going to be there. And even though what's in front of us right now may not look that great, we still are loved incredibly by you. We are made by you. You care about us so deeply. God, help us to keep that in the forefront of our mind as we're walking through the mess, sometimes the very mess that we've made for ourselves. And God, right now, if there's something going on in our life that we know is out of line and out of whack with where you want us to be, we want to confess that to you. We want to repent of that. We want to turn back to you. In the quietness of our heart, we lift that before you. And we ask your forgiveness. We make the choice to turn away and to run back to you, knowing that you welcome us back. You are a God of mercy and love and grace and abounding in love. So as we turn our hearts to you, we do it with confidence, knowing that you care deeply and that you love us deeply and welcome us back. And Father, help us to continue on the journey of becoming who you want us to be as you mold and shape us and form us and knock rough edges off and fine-tune and scrape away at different parts of our life. God, as we allow you to do that, please simply remember that we are loved by you. You are a God of love. And you love us just like you love your son, Jesus. Thank you for that incredible love. In the name of Christ, we pray this morning. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.